flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, Nelly. Anybody want to hear real breaking news? You let BASS base. I got real breaking news, B. No jokes. Do you believe me?
Go ahead.
Are we good?
Yeah, keep talking.
Myles Garrett requesting a trade from Cleveland.
Oh, wow.
That's real news.
Go talk to him, Washington.
Now, that one, people come at me on the internet, and they're like, oh, you always say no to everything, like, because I'm not advocating to spend $32 million a year for T. Higgins, who's missed 10 games over the last two seasons. He's a great player, but if I'm Washington, that's not how I'm building.
Yep.
Myles Garrett, different situation to me.
Totally.
I think, what does this team need the most? I think it is pass rush. I think at 29, the odds of getting a guy like Myles Garrett, who I believe was number one overall pick, if not, he was a top five. You know, I don't think you're getting that, dude. I think we could just talk through our – everybody good? Hear me?
I'm wanting to hear it in my ear.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Garrett, to me, would be an outrageous – like, it's obviously going to – you'd have to move a lot, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
All right, so here's what Myles Garrett just wrote. This is legit breaking news just now. As a kid dreaming of the NFL, all I focused on was the ultimate goal of winning a Super Bowl, and that goal fuels me today more than ever. My love for the community of Northeast Ohio and this incredible fan base of the Cleveland Browns has made this one of the toughest decisions of my life. These past 8 years have shaped me into the man I am today. While I love calling this city home, my desire to win and compete on the biggest stages won't allow me to be complacent. The goal was never to go from Cleveland to Canton. It has always been to compete for and win a Super Bowl. With that in mind, I have requested to be traded from the Cleveland Browns. Hey. They can't blame them.
Hell no. I mean, you don't have any guidance going on up there.
No,
and I'm telling you, I talked to that kid when we played against Cleveland. And he came there, went over to meet Deuce and talked with him. That's the type of dude you want on your football team.
Now,
and he's in a no-win situation up there.
Totally. that team, that owner, we know what this looks like because we lived it. Cleveland's a disaster. Like, your owner is a disaster. And it's going to continue to be a disaster. It's not just the Watson contract. It's all of it. But it's also worth pointing out, like, it's the first year on his contract that there's no guaranteed money.
Yeah.
So this could be about a contract.
A ploy. Yeah. Like, that's there always.
His cap number is 19 mil. I think if you look at the highest paid players on the edge, he is now slated to make 25 mil, whereas Nick Bosa's making 34. So maybe he wants to go. Maybe he really does, because Cleveland looks like they're going to be terrible for a while.
Yep.
But it's also possible he just wants to get paid. And there's nothing wrong with that either.
And he probably should. That dude can play.
Absolutely. But do you call about Garrett? Hell yeah. Do you give up? I give up a pair of ones for Myles Garrett. You're picking 29. Yeah. You know what Myles Garrett is? He's an immediate difference maker. And, dude, if people are going to get caught up on age, I say miss me with that. He's 29 years old and one of the most physically gifted athletes on the planet. He also turned 29 a month ago.
Yeah.
People
don't realize guys play way beyond.
He hasn't missed games.
That old thing about 30 years old, that's over with. And too many people are dispelling that.
I think I don't know. Two firsts to me. I mean, B, he's had this past season, he had 14. He's had at least 14 sacks in the last 4 years. Like, call immediately.
That tells you everything right there. Name the time we had somebody with 14.
Right. I all of it. I think call immediately. But keep in mind, this might just be about a contract.
Yeah, totally.
And this is the first – one thing I think people just want to convince themselves of things, and I've heard from so many different people and places, right? Like, oh, Washington's now a destination. Everybody wants to land in Washington. Mm-hmm. That may be very true. But as of now, that's speculation. We don't know that until somebody actually lands here.
Yeah, totally.
And I think people get so caught up in like, oh, man, people want to play with Jaden and this fan base and whatever else. I think – it's also, you know this better than me, B, so you correct me, or you tell me the percentage. I would argue of free agency decisions, of the actual decisions being made in free agency, 95% of the driver is money. How much am I getting paid? Maybe it's 90?
Yeah, it may be 98%.
That's what I think too, dude.
Because listen, man, people play where they didn't like before, because that person will give you what you think your worth is, okay? And when you become a free agent, it's no longer dictating where you go until the people show that they want you as well. You get what I'm saying? So all of a sudden, you played against Cleveland's rivalry is who?
Steelers,
Let's say the Steelers. You become a free agent, and the Steelers are offering the most money. Guess what? You start liking black and yellow real quick.
Right.
I went from burgundy and gold to green. I went from green to blue and whatever because it came down to who is showing you that you can get your value.
So, dude.
So everybody can say what they want, but it comes down to that green, brother.
Totally. And so I just think for all the like, oh, man, everybody's going to want to come to Washington. Terrific. But if Houston offers them more money, they're going to go to Houston.
Yeah.
Like, people just like – We convince ourselves of these things that just aren't true.
What happens is if let's say Washington offering this $10 million, and somebody else offered $10 million, $10,100,000, all right? That's when you might make a decision and say, okay, I'll go to Washington, especially if you're a receiver. Okay, let's say it like that. If a team in LA offered you $10 million, a 10.1, and then a team in Washington offer you $10 million, you go to Washington. Because you know what? L.A. going to kill you when it comes to all the taxes.
Right.
Those type of things, you may think about something else. But ultimately, it comes down. If Washington offering 10 and somebody else offering 15, you're not even talking to Washington again. Comes down to the money.
Totally. I just think for everybody that's like, oh, man, this is the new destination, it might be. But it also, the destination isn't always the driver. Because if it was, why would anybody this offseason sign with the Giants?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're gonna. Why would anybody sign with Cleveland? Like, I think the Garrett thing is fascinating. So here's what we know. Denton, are you up now? Is our guy Denton Day up? All right, I don't hear you. But
all right, how about now?
Now
you hear me.
All right, our guy Denton Day is here. We got White Brian and Jeff holding it down back in D.C. Denton Day is on site with us here in New Orleans. If you want to get on the stream, Denton, you can pull your chair over with B or me, but it's also not that important.
It's not that important.
I know you like your airtime.
Well, though. I didn't do my makeup today.
Okay.
It's not. My Lord.
Are you doing Denton's office this week?
That's a good question. I might have to find a place to tape it. You guys want to make cameos on Denton's office?
Probably not.
Probably not.
I know I've learned a lot from Mr. Mitchell, and one of his big things is, like, not sure I'm going to do that unless I get paid.
Oh, you ain't getting paid. You ain't getting paid. I ain't getting paid for that, so you ain't getting paid for that.
I have a lot of TV to do. And
you know, I think I might be able to find a person or two to fill in at Radio Row.
Dude, I will happily go on with you. I'm just messing around. What do we think about David Blough? I am starting to get to a place where I think if Pritchard gets a job or Brian Johnson gets a job. Here's what we know is that Washington has blocked David Blau from interviewing for other positions. They are able to, because he's not getting interviews necessarily for top jobs, so they can promote him and figure something out to keep him in-house.
Mm-hmm.
His stock is, he's NVIDIA. Like, his stock is absolutely through the roof.
Uh-huh.
And I'm starting to think they really want to keep him, not at all costs, but like, they know they're going to lose Cliff.
They know they're going to lose somebody.
And I think they think this might be Cliff's replacement.
I think they've already looked at him, and they know where he can fit. And instead of letting him get out the building and somebody else get out the building, no. We're going to find a way to keep him in the building. And if you have a plan like that, it works. You know what I mean? A lot of times people, hell, like, think about when we let all those people get out of the building. We had nobody else in there to fill the position.
Right.
They're at least saying, okay, we know we may lose this person, that person, but we're not going to lose all of them. And I think that's smart.
And don't you think that helps the development of Jaden? So even if you do eventually have to work with another offensive coordinator, it's not someone
familiarity
out of house.
Yeah.
You just kind of move up from within.
Yeah, I think that is great.
It doesn't hurt.
And I think the biggest thing is, what are you more concerned about here? Is it necessarily the coaches, or is it to keep this dude grooming how he's going? So it comes down to having people that he's already familiar with, people he's worked with. They understand him. They know based off of having those. You know, they're saying it may be 2-3 years. But if they always have somebody that he's always talking to, it's a lot easier to make that transition than it is to have to cope completely with somebody else who has a totally different mindset.
Totally. So here's where we are. Kingsbury's staying, obviously. I think a lot of it is, and this is all well documented. We're not breaking any news here. He's still getting paid by Arizona. I think most of these jobs that came open this year sucked. I think that's a really big part of it. And he gets to work with Jaden for another season.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know what I mean? It was a perfect storm of, yo, I'm going to stay here.
What's the
like,
best
I'm
thing,
chilling.
What's the best thing to promote somebody, a coach, that his student is performing at a high level?
Right.
So if Jaden has another year like he did last year, you know who they're going to give a lot of that credit to? Cliff.
Right.
And then Cliff get the pick of the litter. That happens.
So then you've got Tavita Pritchard, the quarterback's coach. Tavita Pritchard was a Ron hire. Tavita Pritchard was there. Really smart guy, Stanford guy, good human. I really like Tavita. He interviewed with Jacksonville for their offensive coordinator job. Liam Cohen got that job. He's looking to hire other like-minded people. I don't know what's going to happen there, but I think if Tavita gets that job, they couldn't stop him, but I don't know that they would, because I think they want Blau. When I asked DQ specifically, hey, man, how prepared are you for this coaching carousel? He's like, I got to be prepared. We have a deep coaching roster to develop these guys.
Yeah.
And I feel like he was almost specifically talking about Blau. And I think because of everything that happened in Atlanta, when they lost that Super Bowl, Kyle was already 1 foot out the door for San Fran.
Yeah.
Took most of that offensive staff with him. DQ being DQ then kind of let everybody go and was cool with it. And I think DQ now, he's talked at length about how much he's learned from his first go-round to now. And I think some of this, so it's been reported, I think it was Pelissero, that Washington did not let Blau interview with these other jobs. You could do that if it's not a promotion, right?
Yeah.
And I think that is
and
because
that makes
he's
also,
looking a year out, dude.
That also puts pressure on the other team. You're not going to just come pick out a guy for no rabbit job. Be serious about it. You know what I mean? Don't come out here trying to talk to them if you're not trying to promote them. If you want to talk to them, be willing to promote them. Because he wants to, you know, build that talent up. And like you say, they are there to help out players and coaches. So either we're going to keep him here if you're going to try to keep him in the same place. Because if you want him, you're going to have to promote him. Point blank.
But I do circle back to this central tenet. Everybody's going to look good working with Jaden.
Yeah.
Because Jaden is a star. And I think, like,
yeah,
we got to all remind ourselves of that. I am very interested in the Houston job and this Jacksonville job because I don't think you want to lose Brian Johnson and Tavita. That'd be a lot of turnover. But if that quarterback room remains, I think they should and will bring back Mariota. Where are you on that?
I'm 100% with that.
I wonder if he gets a chance at a starting gig is kind of the only caveat to that. And I think this draft class isn't very good. There's enough quarterback holes around the league that he could get a real look somewhere. Mm-hmm. The problem, however, is how Atlanta effed him and Arthur Smith, frankly, effed him years back, and that it was all on that Netflix show and made him look like a jerk when he was lied to. And that stuff happens in NFL locker rooms. Yeah. It happens year after year. But he was told he got to start the year. Then late in the year, it's a self-preservation league. Ownership wants to see something different. They go to Ritter, even though he's completely unready. And Mariota gets benched and he gets pissed. But, like, there's a lot more to that story. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and that stuff happens every year.
For his career to be prolonged the way he may want it to be, he may be on that backup thing now.
He just, much like Cliff, he just might be comfortable and happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's getting plenty of cash. Now, everybody wants to play. That competitive drive is something I'll never fathom, to be a pro athlete and to be a quarterback at the highest level. But, like, sometimes you find a good spot and you're cool.
Like, if you could be that backup, there are some backups for 10 years, making about 8 to 10. It's a lot of damn money, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of damn money.
Or you could try and be a starter and you sign a deal and you go out there, you don't live up to the starter capability, and you be out the league. So
let's do this. I want to jump on time because I want to get to Josh Harris. Is a punctual dude. I would expect this presser in Ashburn to start right at 11:30. Before we run, though, I got to tell you about my guys over at Paul Henry's Window Installation. They've completely changed my house, man. And think about D.C. in the last 10 days. It was butt cold, and then it got real warm all of a sudden. And then it got cold again, and the wind's blowing. You never know what's going to happen with the crazy weather in the DMV. That's why you need new doors and windows from Paul Henry. They'll keep your house nice and warm in the winter and nice and cool in the summer. Plus, they're going to lower your utility bills. If you call Paul this month, you get $100 off each window with a 5-window minimum and 10% off doors.
You know what? Paul came over to my house too. He's done my windows. He's done doors. He's done garage doors. Paul does all types of things. And you know what? Every time I need work done in my house, I reach out to Paul because I know the job is going to be done. It's going to be done right. And it's going to be quickly done. A lot of people come in your house, they mess around, they do your work, and they got to keep coming back. If they have to keep coming back, they mean that they know they didn't do the job right the first time. Paul doesn't have to worry about that. He gets it done right. So if you have another situation, you're going to reach out to the guy who's dependable and reliable. So as JP said, reach out to Paul right now. You can get $100 off each window with a 5-window minimum and 10% off each door. Contact Paul Henry's Window Installation today and tell him B. Mitchell Finley sent you. PaulHenry'sWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Live, Radio Row, New Orleans, Louisiana. Everybody getting ready for Eagles-Chiefs this weekend, but the big news today, Myles Garrett wants out of Cleveland. Or does he? Does Myles Garrett want more money and guaranteed money on his deal? Myles Garrett's making about $10 million less than Nick Bosa. How do you think that's it?
I'm not going to sit well with him. Myles Garrett basically wants more money, and that's how you can say it, because you know what? That could be in Cleveland or somewhere else, and he'll be satisfied.
His name used to be Josh Allen. Now it's Josh Hines Allen, the Jaguars pass rusher. Not the Bills quarterback, but the other Josh Allen that's now Josh Hines Allen. He's a good player. Uh-huh. You know that he makes $4.5 million more than Myles Garrett?
Yeah, Myles Garrett.
How do you think that sits?
I think Myles Garrett looked at that list and said, you know what? I'm going to have to – the first day of the coverage of the Super Bowl, I am going to put my name out there.
No, B, he didn't do it today because there's so much attention being
paid.
Hell,
yes, he did.
No.
Hell, yes, he did.
What a cynic you are.
Hey,
I think it just happened today was when he thought of it.
No.
You think it was a coordinated effort to get the most possible exposure when the entire sports media ecosystem is in one place, really lacking any actual storylines?
H-Y. Hell, yeah.
No, that's just a coinky-dink.
Nah. You got to find out the best time to do it. Don't be surprised if he comes out and says it again on Wednesday.
Sure. I won't be surprised, B, if he ends up here and does an interview.
And guess what, Miles? We are willing to talk to you.
Sure. Miles, we are open, buddy. I think if the conversation is two ones and I am Adam Peters, I offer it. No problem. Jeff, Josh Harris is going to talk any minute. It's 11:30 D.C. time. Okay? So when we see it go live, we're going to take the Commander's owner live.
You could have answered that through the text thread.
Dog, I got a lot of moving parts here.
Oh, wow.
I also am teasing the audience, Jeff, that momentarily we should hear from Josh Harris. It should be just moments away. I think that'll be quite interesting for Harris to talk today. As soon as that goes live, we will bring it to you live here on the program. Specifically with Garrett, if the offer is 2 1s, B, no problem. Where do I send them? What's the address in Cleveland? Have y'all moved to the suburban stadium yet? Are you still at the downtown one?
They'll drive up there.
And for folks that want to get caught up in comp picks or whatever you want to talk about, right this year they picked 29, and I don't know if you agree with this, B. I think they'll be picking in the 20s for a while.
And you know what? I have no problem with that.
Dude, I'll read you some.
I wish they pick 32nd sometime.
He
probably won it all, you know what I mean?
In the last 5 years, Myles Garrett has been All-Pro every year. He was Defensive Player of the Year 2 seasons ago. He had 14 sacks, 14 sacks, 16 sacks, 16 sacks, 12 sacks, 10, 13 and a half. And his rookie year is the only time he ever really missed some time. He had 7 sacks and 9 starts. The guy's an absolute beast. And I believe we now have Josh Harris, Commander's owner, speaking live in Ashburn.
Football. I just want to acknowledge the terrible tragedies that have occurred here in the D.C. area and then obviously in Philly and the loss of life. And my heart and the hearts of all of us here at the Commanders go out to the souls that were lost and their families. And then I just want to say thank you to the first responders who are helping really deal with this situation. So just take a moment. Now let's talk football. You know, and by the way, Bobby, good to see you. Doug, thank you for being here. I'm honored. So first of all, I'd be lying if I didn't say that I wish we were in New Orleans. But that aside, I mean, obviously I couldn't be prouder of the team, the players, the fans, the coaching staff, front office, and so... I just want to say thank you to Adam Peters and his staff for what you did, Coach Quinn and Dan, your staff. And then, obviously, it's a testament to your leadership, the culture that we built and where we ended up. NFC Championship game, first time since 1991. And obviously, acknowledge the players, Bobby, but also... all the players, you know, just showed up. It was a new situation, and you guys killed it. And so just mentioning the captain, Zach, Terry, Jeremy, Bobby, and obviously Jaden and what he did. And lastly, I wanted to say on behalf of our ownership group, you know, thank you, DMV. We couldn't have done it without you. You showed up. And thank you to our community of fans. I mean, I couldn't believe when I was out, I went to every game, and I'd see Commanders fans and faithful everywhere I went. And it just grew and grew and grew. And I can't tell you how much it means to all of us here, the team, to feel supported when they go to war, when we go to war, knowing that the fans are on our corner, it means a lot to us. So with that, future is bright, and I'll open it up to questions.
Josh, over here, John Kime, ESPN. So may as well get this one out of the way first. It's become a topic again, but what plans, if any, do you have about with rebranding, whether it's name, jersey, and how does winning impact how you view that situation?
Yeah, so just to hit the name first, like we're focused on, we're back to saying, you know, what we said all last year, which is focused on winning football games, on getting prepared for next year, on fixing up Ashburn and the stadium. We could talk about that. And then on... engaging with the community of Washington. And so right now, and now in this building, the name Commanders means something. It means that, you know, it's about players who, you know, are love football, are great at football, hit hard, mentally tough, great teammates. And so it's really meaningful that that name is growing in meaning. And so, but as far as rebranding and bringing our past, you know, which obviously I grew up with and all the Super Bowl championships and our future together, you're going to see us head back towards, you know, honoring our past and bringing it together with our future.
And how does winning impact, how does this season and the winning impact how you, how aggressive you may want to see the organization be when it comes to free agency and other moves this offseason?
Look, we're looking for Commanders. And whether it be free agency, trades, draft, and obviously we have a lot of cap flexibility. We have a full slate of draft picks. You know, certainly we're going to be talking to other teams where we can find players that, you know, are great at what they do and fit our culture and are great teammates and are situationally aware and hit hard and are tough. Like, we're gonna get them to come. And so, you know, we're totally focused on improving our team from last year, and I think we're going to do that.
Josh, Ben Standing with The Athletic. To the point of improving on the team, you guys, obviously, with Jaden, it looks like you may have found a really good young quarterback going forward. That also comes with the opportunity with him on a rookie contract for the next couple of years. How do you kind of assess that opportunity, and do you think that leads to being more aggressive in free agency this year?
Yeah, we have a massive opportunity, and you know, we're not, none of us are taking that lightly. We're all fully committed to continuing to build our team and be elite over the long term, right? And so, and obviously that you know, that we understand that contract and those dynamics. And so, like I said, where we can find players that fit us and that we think are going to bring it, we're going to go after them. And so, you know, I don't know how that translates to aggressiveness in free agency, where Adam and Dan are hard at work and they're going to advise me on that. But certainly, you know, we're going to do everything we can to improve our team.
And obviously, the way the season unfolded, getting all the way to the NFC Championship game, you've said, hey, this is pretty obviously great, but also a bit surprising. You can tell us now, what were your realistic expectations going into this last year about what you guys thought you would actually do?
You know, look, I knew we were going to go to – no, I'd say I predicted – no, look, obviously the season came out – amazing and better than anyone expected, and no one could have sat where we were all sitting at the beginning of the season, where we had entirely, you know, for the most part, a new coaching staff, a new front office, more than half the players were changed. But, like, obviously, you know, credit to Adam and Dan and their staffs for bringing everyone together, and credit to the players for making it happen on the field. And so you know, look, you know, we got it. Like, we've arrived, and that changes expectations. And, you know, I've lived through this before, and we welcome it. And you know, we're just going to work harder and to create a situation where next year we win.
Josh, David Aldridge with The Athletic. In terms of a new facility, new stadium, I should say.
Yep.
What's your vision? What is it that you want in terms of, do you want just a really great stadium, or do you see it as an opportunity to kind of really transform a neighborhood and have more bells and whistles in terms of restaurants, housing, all of those things that some other teams have tried to do?
Yeah, so I have three or four things in mind. I mean, obviously for me personally, you know, I grew up with a great stadium, and I understand, you know, what it's like to play in a stadium that, you know, where it's hard for the visiting team to play, right? I mean, we've experienced different stadiums. You know, like I said, I've been to every game for the last 2 years, and I see differences. And so, you know, the primary objective is to create a stadium that we're going to win in, because I think if we do that, and so there's all kinds of decisions that go into that. But I also think that we have a responsibility. You know, when a city, you know, takes land and utilizes it, you know, for a stadium, right, they're taking it away from other things they could do. And so it's our responsibility to make it, you know, an amazing economic development opportunity for where it is, and create a lot of jobs and, you know, help that area, right? And so, as I think everyone knows, we're considering multiple jurisdictions, but in each case, right, those areas need help, need improvement, and so that's got to be part of it. And you know, the cities themselves have to have, you know, their own input as to what they want. These are political processes, right? And they matter to the neighborhoods and to the greater areas. So we're, you know, right now in the middle of all that. And so, yeah, I think it's both. But for me personally, I start with, like, we need to have a great place where our fans can show up and feel like, and as much as possible, we want that to be an advantage to our team in terms of winning on the field.
Do you does the success this season speed up a potential timeline? I know you got to go through jurisdictions, cities, city councils, state governments. So there's a certain friction there that you have to navigate that you can't do anything about. But do you think that you've gained a year or more in terms of timeline by the success of the season?
Yeah, look, any time that you win on the field, I mean, we all now experience what it was like here, right? And it was the reawakening of watching football here in the DMV and everywhere, right? Because there's lots of people who grew up with the team that I grew up with. And so anytime that you get that reawakening, right, the population at large is supportive, right? And so there's no question that there's some momentum and, you know, we would hope to capitalize on it. But I mean, obviously, we're in dialogue with jurisdictions, with Washington, with Maryland, and you know, really, they're a big what they want to do is a big part of it also. And so, and every indication is that everyone is supportive, and so we're just going to try to move it forward as fast as possible.
Hey, Josh, Sam Fortier with the Washington Post. Hello. In November, at a Bloomberg event with David Rubenstein, you said that D.C. would be the most politically viable because it would be the most accepted by all jurisdictions. I'm wondering if you still feel that way and if you could explain your thinking there.
Yeah, look, I think that obviously the DMV, right, is three jurisdictions, and it turns out D.C. is in the middle. Plus, it's the location maybe, but plus because of the history. Its location that when we do surveys is the most acceptable. But there's a lot of things that go into this, and we play in Maryland right now. We have an amazing relationship with Maryland. And like I said, it's not just our decision. Like, the decision is about the specific regions and areas and states themselves and D.C. itself. So, like, we have a lot of dialogue going with everyone, and we're going to keep pushing forward. That I continue to, kind of just be transparent about what the surveys say and how the area feels at large. But that doesn't mean that there's not a lot of support in Maryland, a lot of support in Virginia. There is. But obviously D.C. is, kind of aligned with the history and happens to be the easiest place to get to for the most number of fans.
I was going to ask you, how does that thinking, the studies kind of inform your multi-jurisdiction discussions that you're going to have over the next weeks and months?
Yeah, look, these are very, complicated things to decide, right? So you have zoning, you have real estate, you have what you can build, what you're allowed to build, and site planning. And so certainly it's an important part of the mix, but it's not the only factor.
Josh Berry Sverluga from the Washington Post. This is a public-private partnership you're talking about with the stadium. Do you expect to pay for the actual building yourself and get government to help with land and, infrastructure? Or do you expect to get public money for the building, too?
Yeah, look, obviously, we're having a lot of discussions right now, and it would be, I don't think it would be appropriate for me to get to, get in front of the governments that we're talking to, the Maryland government, D.C. government, PG County. I mean, I think it wouldn't be appropriate, but I appreciate the question.
And just kind of a minutia thing, Dan Quinn at the end of the season talked a little bit about your kind of week-to-week input with Adam and him going through the process. He mentioned Friday calls. Wherever you were around the world, you were always available and what do you get out of that? What was the process like, and what sort of what's the advantage for you to having such
I'm just learning, to be honest with you, from people who've been kind of good at this for a long time, and obviously very happy with what we've got here, and And you know, but ultimately, right, to a large extent, I have professionals running the team, running the front office, and so I'm somewhat deferring to them. But obviously, ultimately, right, I have to make sure that I understand, you know, what's going on enough that if there was something that I disagree with, I would, you know, involve myself. But right now, you know, very happy with the leadership I have in place.
Josh, Steve Weiner from the Associated Press. Following up on John's question earlier, is it safe to say the commander's name is around just to stay? Is that safe to say from your standpoint?
Yes. And we're actually, I think it's now being embraced by our team, by our culture, by our coaching staff. And so, you know, we're going with that.
And I'm curious, how did your experience kind of dealing with the city of Philadelphia and Comcast and all that with the arena kind of affect your stadium thoughts here? And obviously, you're dealing with three jurisdictions here, maybe two there. How did that sort of affect or maybe help you prepare for this?
Yeah, look, anytime you go, like our North Star, it really is the same approach, which is ultimately like, what's the best, you know, like I said, there's a lot of factors, but what's the best thing to do for the underlying population, you know, kind of, and in the case of Philly, we ended up in an amazing situation where we're developing an arena, you know, in the sports complex in Philly for the Sixers. We're developing land, the Center City in Philly. We have Comcast as a partner. We're getting hockey and basketball. So I think that we ended up with an amazing situation and for Philly, right? And, you know, obviously it's a little more complicated here because it's multi-jurisdictional, but we're keeping our eye on the same thing and trying to balance everything and do what we think is the best thing for the city, for the overall region and the fans and the team. And that's how we're going to think about it. But it was a good education.
Hey, Josh. Eric Flack from WUSA9. Emails from the city show that you personally called Chuck Schumer trying to get the RFK bill passed, and that you personally called with Jason Wright, Wes Moore, to try and get Maryland to back off. How do you look at somebody from Maryland and say you're seriously still considering Maryland when you seem to be so laser focused, including that picture in the Oval Office, on a DC option?
You know, look, I would say that Maryland's been you know, Governor Moore and his team have been amazing. And, you know, actually, what we were trying to do is get D.C. to the table. So, like, I want to make sure that we're clearing up this misconception. D.C. was not at the table because they didn't own the land. They didn't have control of the land. So what we wanted to do and what we accomplished doing was to allow for the federal government to transfer control of the land to D.C., right? Now, D.C. has to decide what it wants to do. It's got a lot of flexibility to do whatever it wants with the land. And Governor Moore was incredible in terms of saying, we went to Governor Moore and we said, look, you know, we just want D.C. at the table. And he said, look, I'm on board for that, you know, but I want to make sure that if that's a direction that D.C. wants to go and you want to go, that you take care of Maryland also. And, of course, we were going to do that anyway. And so I think that there's no negative – there's no – nothing has been decided, and we're going down both paths at once. And so – and that was the whole conversation. So all that happened so far – and, yeah, I was working pretty hard to get D.C. to the table because I thought it was the right thing to do. And now we got the hard work of figuring out – the multitude of specifics that you need to figure out when you're doing something like this. And D.C. really has to decide what it wants to do.
Days after the RFK land became official in D.C. hands, you made, in your ownership group up with the Sixers, made a pretty surprising about-face and reached a 50-50 partnership with Comcast on an alternative arena agreement there, as opposed to you financing a downtown arena.
Yep.
Are those two things separate, or can you see them as intertwined? And if you're saving money in Philly, does that mean there's more money for a Commander Stadium here?
Yeah, so, I mean, listen, first of all, they're not intertwined at all. They're totally separate situations. And obviously, you know, we're going to we have the ability to finance both the arena and the stadium. They're totally separate situations. And so And listen, deals, you know, about face. I mean, deals kind of come. Ultimately, if you keep your eye on what's the best thing for the city, negotiations don't happen in a smooth way. And then you got to be able to pivot and willing to pivot. And when you think it's the right thing to do, and so it ended up, we ended up in a great place in Philly, and I'm hoping we end up in a great place. And I'm very, very confident we'll end up in a great place here.
Mr. Harris, Mark Seagraves, NBC Washington. And I understand why you don't want to get ahead of the conversation on the proposals coming from Maryland and D.C., but from your point of view, D.C. has several different stadiums with several different models, business models. Do you see a stadium in D.C., a business model that you prefer? Do you prefer to own the stadium yourself? Would you want to play in a stadium that is owned by the jurisdiction?
Yeah, again, I appreciate all these questions, and I'm going to go back to my same answer, which is that really it would be D.C. and Maryland are deciding what they want, right? And then we're going to react to that and be, you know, let those conversations play out in confidence. And all I can tell you is that we're really hard at work right now trying to move the process forward with everyone and try to figure out, again, an amazing place where opposing teams fear to come and our fans love to come and our players love to come, and then do that in the context of, you know, really improving the area where we're building and creating a lot of jobs and economic development. So that's what we're going to do. But I can't really get into the specifics. It's you know, the cities have to, you know, dictate, you know, when and how we talk about some of those details. And then obviously I'm happy to be available and react to them, but like, that's really the appropriate way for me to move forward on all this.
Do you have
Commander's owner Josh Harris speaking very forthright. I know a lot of folks wanted to. I think it's a dwindling minority though at this point. The name ain't changing. They're winning games, man. There's bigger fish to fry. The uniforms are going to change. I think they'll get back to the classic burgundy and gold look. I really think the only one they really messed up is that red. The white and red is just terrible. It looks like a Louisville Cardinals alternate jersey. But, you know, what's crazy is because you get access to the owner, so you ask stadium and name questions. But the best part of this is he's like, yeah, man, we're just looking to build an awesome offseason and get more good players and try to win a Super Bowl. Not to mention, this is an end-of-season presser from the owner of the Commanders.
Yes.
Yo, that didn't happen for 30 years. This is, like, it's just more examples of how different the universe we occupy is now for the better. When we come back, Ryan Leaf going to join us live, Radio Row.
It's Super Bowl 59 week, and there's no better way to make every play more exciting than with FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel makes it easy to place your bets and feel the thrill of every moment. Here's some fun bets in the app right now. How about Saquon to record 25-plus rushing yards in each quarter? Either quarterback to catch a pass, who do we think that's going to be? And how about Jalen Hurts to score an octopus? That's a touchdown and a two-point conversion. He needs to be carrying it. A big man to score a touchdown, any offensive lineman to score a TD. Hell, how about as a defensive lineman? That's a big man, too. And I also feel that you can go with the over in this football game. Just place a $5 bet. And if you win, you'll get $200 in bonus bets. Download the app or head to FanDuel.com/Brian and bet with FanDuel, official partner of Super Bowl 59. You have to be 18 years or older and present in D.C. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com.